Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Trump administration is considering allowing fishing in the Northeast Canyons and Seamounts Marine National Monument. That's the first national monument in the U.S.'s Atlantic waters, designated thus last year by the Obama administration. Now it covers some 5,000 square miles just off of Cape Cod. And when President Obama first created the monument, he said he was doing it in a way that, quote, respects the fishing industry's unique role in New England's economy. But many fishing groups disagreed since the monument designation banned commercial fishing in the area. But again, that could change with word via a leaked memo that current Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is recommending reopening the monument to fishing. So let's get a couple of views on this. First from Andrew Rosenberg, director of the Center for Science and Democracy. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Mike.
Also with us is Shannon Eldred. She is a board president of the Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance, a fisherman-led organization. Shannon Eldred, welcome to you.
Thanks.
So first of all, if you could, Andrew Rosenberg, give us your reaction to the possibility of the Marine Monument being open to fishing.
Well, I mean, the purpose of designating the Marine Monument was to protect some rather unique environments where there is very little fishing. There are corals, there's other kinds of unique resources off the New England coast. The whole purpose of the monument was to protect those resources, and while 5,000 square miles sounds large, it's not very large compared to the whole area of the Northeast Continental Shelf. So to allow fishing basically undermines the ability to protect those resources.
And Shannon Eldred, what's your first thought here? Because I know that many in the fishing community, the fishing industry, strenuously objected to the creation of this marine monument to begin with.
Yeah, so in the first place, declaring a national monument in the ocean is not an effective management tool. Like Andrew said, the canyons are fishing grounds for a smaller group of specifically offshore lobstermen and crab fishermen. But the majority of the fishermen that we work with were not directly impacted by the monument, but we believe declaring monuments sets a precedent that could affect a lot of fishermen. If the government uses monuments as a means to managing the ocean's resources, we believe that we should be part of that conversation.
So, Andrew Rosenberg, respond to that. What's your thought on that?
Sure. I mean, first of all, there was a process by which people could submit comments, and fishermen did. There really, as far as I know, there's only one crab boat that's working in that area, although I think a few moved in after discussion of lobstermen might have moved in for some limited fishing after the discussion of a monument came up. So there was a public dialogue. This is not a fishery management tool. There is a process for that. This is protecting a public resource. There are two marine monuments, one in the Pacific and one in the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's all kinds of fishing going on all around all of our coasts. So to confuse this with a fishery management program, I think, isn't appropriate.
Well, so if I could just jump in here, because I want to turn that question back to Shannon and actually add this, because Shannon, part of the thinking behind the creation of the monument from a scientific standpoint is that holding on to these pristine areas of the marine environment would actually help scientists better understand how the oceans are changing because of things like climate change, which are having an impact on the fishing industry. I mean, we have some tape here from Zach Cliver, a naturalist at the Bar Harbor Whale Watch Company, and he spoke with New England Public Radio this week about this issue.
If we have some neutral and pristine ocean environments that aren't stressed, we can study the impact of ocean acidification and climate change, and that's going to help fishing communities. We need to know, will that ecological diversity and biodiversity help create a more stable marine environment?
What's your thought on that, Shannon Eldridge?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we're all about studying the ocean and, you know, including climate change as part of the conversation. Our organization believes that climate change is a very real thing, but you know, the ocean is a big moving part, and one of the things that we really want to emphasize is scale. So in the case of monuments, we have two kind of very opposing views that are dominating the conversation. One is larger environmental groups are saying, you know, there should be absolutely no human impact on these kinds of ecosystems so that we can study what's going on. And then you have big sort of industrial scale companies and big industrial scale fishing organizations that are saying, well, wait a minute, we should be able to make a living. But we're kind of medium and small scale fishing operations that, you know, are wanting to be a part of the conversation and tell, you know, managers and scientists and help them understand what we're seeing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be a part of the conversation when we're talking about human impact on ecosystems.
Yeah. So, Andrew Rosenberg, on that point, I mean, there is definitely the ideal of protecting, quote unquote, pristine natural environments. But fishing has been going on in the Atlantic for, you know, multiple generations. I think one could make the argument that it is as much a part of the environment as, you know, the fish itself. And to that point, if I could, I'd like to actually play a piece of tape from Beth Cassoni. She's of the Massachusetts Lobstermen Association, talking about sort of how fishing is so integral to the New England marine ecosystem that you really can't separate the two.
If you want to save a piece of coral, people will throw tens of thousands of dollars at it. But if you want to save a fisherman, they'll tell him to get another job. And it's not that easy. I mean, there's a reason why people fish. They love it. It's a way of life. It's ingrained in their souls. And, you know, it's not that easy just to tell a fisherman to go get another job.
Andrew Rosenberg, I wonder what your thought is about that, that there really is no such thing as a purely untouched marine environment that's been free from human interaction, let alone fishing.
No, I think that's right. I certainly agree with what Shannon said. There is a dichotomy here in terms of big industrial operations. Sometimes people arguing for pristine environments, and I also agree with the last speaker that it is very difficult to, you know, tell a fisherman to go do something else. That's not what's happening here with the National Marine Monument. That is a fishery management discussion. I've been involved in those discussions in the past for many years. It's extremely difficult. It's very complex. This is a monument designation in an area where there is almost no fishing currently. That doesn't mean that there's no impact. One of those impacts you already mentioned, climate change, from human activity. There are other impacts out there. This is an attempt to protect an area that has some very unique features. That's not the same thing as saying it's totally pristine.
Right.
Sure, there's good science to be done there, I'm sure, by those people who happen to work on those issues, but this is about protecting a unique national resource that we really don't find elsewhere, and it's not a very large area in that perspective, given that we fish almost everywhere else.
Yeah. If I just may, Shannon Eldridge, the last question goes to you, because right now we're talking about possibly removing restrictions on commercial fishing on the Marine Monument, but as you know, the Trump administration is doing a whole-scale review of many national monuments across the country. I mean, would you prefer that the administration move to totally remove the designation altogether?
So, like I said before, you know, if Zinke and the Trump administration want to open up national monuments and wilderness areas and wildlife refuges and national parks to less prohibitive hunting and fishing, then, you know, we should be talking about scale. We should be talking about, you know, what kind of precedent this will set for the future. And, you know, we should be bringing in the people who are most impacted into the conversation. And for us with the canyons and fishing, is we really need to think about the fish, the people who are making their living in the ocean, and then also people who are relying on fish as part of their diet. We have to remember fishermen are feeding people. And if we start cordoning off the ocean and protecting every single, you know, part of it from all human impact, we're going to lose a big part of our seafood system.
Well, Shannon Eldridge is board president of the Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance and a commercial fisherman joining us from Chatham today. Thank you so much, Shannon.
Thank you.
And Andrew Rosenberg, director of the Center for Science and Democracy, speaking to us from Cambridge. Thank you as well.
Thank you very much.